Philippians. Jojo and Tanya, we're going to get you right after we're seated. Some of these people didn't want to be seated and then got right back up. That would have been too much. So we got them up, and now that they're up, we're going to keep them up. Brethren, verse 17, brothers and sisters, be followers together of me, Paul says. Mark them who walk so as you have us for an example. In contrast, in verse 18, there's another group. They walk differently. Listen to this. For many walk, of whom I've told you often and now tell you, even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, verse number 19. Their God is their belly. Their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. In contrast, verse 20 is us. Our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from where we look for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We're going to pray, we're going to present somebody for membership, and then we're going to preach God's word. Lord God, come into your assembly and change souls. Bring light where it's dark. Give faith where it's absent. Manifest your grace and mercy in a marvelous way. There are some that are dead here today. Quicken their souls. Quicken them, God. There are some that are enemies of the cross. Call them to yourself today. Open their eyes. And to us who are, in fact, citizens of the kingdom of God, give us, O God, a mind to hear truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Jojo and Tanya, remain seated. These are the outlaws. Is it your desire to present yourself this morning to this congregation for membership? And having read the Articles of Faith and our covenant, you know what you're getting yourself into. Is Jesus your Lord? Trusting in him and him alone for your salvation. Do either of you need to be scripturally baptized, or have you already been baptized by immersion after faith in Christ? Both of you have. All right, very good. You may be seated. It'll be our joy after your membership interview with one of the elders, one of the pastors, to be able to present you at our next members' meeting. Let's get started in this text. If you have a King James Bible, you have the preposition for. If you have any other translation, I dare say it's probably going to say but. Paul is establishing a significant contrast between two groups of people. In verse 18 and 19 versus those in 20 and 21. And we need to see this. There's a difference between them in 18 and 19 and us in verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven. They have their minds set on earthly things. Paul is calling us to be different in verse 20. We are to have our minds set on heavenly things. The reason our mind is set on heavenly things is because our citizenship is in heaven. I want to bring to your attention before we get into this, that word are. O-U-R. This idea of our citizenship. Our is a plural pronoun, reminding us that we are part of something much larger than ourselves. Christianity is not supposed to be done alone. It's not supposed to be done alone. You are not an island unto yourself. We are part of something larger than ourselves. This is very biblical. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, our Lord 73 times, our God 20 plus times, our Passover lamb, our hearts, our gospel, our message, our Savior, our brother, our sister, our faith. It doesn't say my. I'm not supposed to think in terms of me. I'm supposed to be thinking I am part of this, our, us. We are the body of Christ. To be a Christian is to be part of something much larger than yourself. It's not all about me. It's not. And every time I see this word "our" in my Bible, I need this reminder that it's not all about me and my little feelings. This is a big thing called the body of Christ. This is the nation, the holy nation. There is a kingdom, as we're going to see in just a minute, that you and I get to be part of. We pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." We pray, "Give us this day." We pray, "Our daily bread." We pray, "Forgive us our debts." We pray, "As we forgive our debtors." We pray, "Lead us not into temptation." We pray, "Deliver us from evil." Every single time you use the Lord's Prayer to guide your prayer life, you're reminded it's not about me. There are others. There are others. I'm praying to our Heavenly Father. This "our" concept is why I think church membership is so important. It connects me to a body of Christ such that it reminds me it's not all about me and what I want. I'm going to stay home this morning and watch John Piper on Desiring God because I don't want to be part of the big group. I might get sick. Germs out there. And we live in isolation. And it's not good. Church membership reminds me that I am part of something bigger than myself. My membership in a local church, because my citizenship is in heaven. This word "citizenship," let's explore it. If you have a translation other than the King James, you have the word "citizenship" there, right there. The Greek word reminds me that it's a political organization here. And political is a negative connotation today, but not so in Paul's day. The colony of Philippi had been given their citizenship. It was a gift from the Roman Empire, and they were now citizens. They were now free individuals. They were an entity that had a claim to a citizenship of something larger than themselves. A politically organized community or major territorial unit having a monarchical form of government headed by a king or queen. What is this the definition of? It is kingdom. That's correct. It's the definition of kingdom. The definition of kingdom. And I get this incredible reminder this morning that my citizenship is part of God's kingdom. Kingdom. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I should be delivered unto them. But now is my kingdom not from here." Why is it not from here? Because it's from above. It's from above. Read the Bible with me, verse number 20. But our conversation, our citizenship is where? It's in heaven. You already have a citizenship in heaven. You already have it if you're born again this morning. When you were born of your mother, you had an earthly citizenship. Now that you've been born from above, John chapter 3, born again, you receive a heavenly citizenship. You're part of the kingdom of God, mentioned 67 times. You're part of the kingdom of heaven, mentioned 32 times. You're part of the kingdom of the Lord. You're part of the kingdom of his beloved son. You're part of the kingdom of Christ and of God. You're a member of a state. You say, a member of a state? What state are you talking about? Peter described it as a holy nation. A holy nation. A royal priesthood. A peculiar people. You this morning, if you're born again, you this morning, if you're born again, you this morning, you this morning, you this morning, you over here, if you're born again this morning, there is a global nation. A global nation. It does not have geographical boundaries. It does not have racial boundaries. It does not have ethnic boundaries. They all of us, we are part of the body of Christ. We're part of the kingdom of God. Jesus is our King. There are multiple languages in this nation, multiple languages. This "in heaven," our citizenship is in heaven, is in contrast to 18 and 19. There's a preposition, there is a conjunction there in verse number 20, designed not to be read in isolation, but to be connected to the previous verses. Notice, please, at the end of verse 18, they are enemies of the cross. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. Their glory is their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things, in contrast to us, whose minds are set on what? Heavenly things. This is so important for you to see this. They walk as enemies of the cross, not us. We embrace the cross. We sing about the cross. I'm going to bring out my trademark ladder this morning again. I want you guys to bury me with one of these, okay? Just put it right in the casket, okay? What does it mean to embrace the cross? What does it mean to embrace the cross? We almost use these words so flippantly that we don't even know what they mean. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm burdened. I'm going to be transparent with you. The last couple of weeks, we had another church member who basically apostatized. Done with Christ. Don't bother me anymore. I'm not coming back to church. Now, bear in mind, that's a man who stood up like JoJo did this morning and said, yes, Jesus is my Savior. Yes, He is my Lord. This is the man who professed faith in Christ. This is the man who went through our covenant training. This is the man who was interviewed by a pastor and said, yes, Jesus is my Savior, and now He's not. I am more aware than ever that we are filled with people who are not saved. Because you come here and sing a song does not mean you're saved. Because you've said a prayer does not mean you're saved. Have you embraced the cross? They are enemies of the cross. They want nothing to do with the cross. We are in love with the cross. We are relying on the cross, like this ladder right here. I'm trusting in this ladder to sustain my weight. You see it? I'm fully dependent on this ladder right now. Don't make me nervous. I've done this before. This is not a big deal to me. Okay? I am completely depending upon this ladder right now to sustain my weight. Is that correct? Am I relying on anything else at this point but this ladder? Yes or no, church? Do I have a safety harness on? No. I am completely dependent upon this ladder to sustain my weight in every way, shape, or form. That's us with the cross. That's us. We don't add baptism. We don't add communion. We don't add Bible study. We don't add our good works. We don't add anything else. We don't add a prayer we prayed. If you ask us how we know we're saved, we're trusting on Christ and Christ alone. That's all. This cross right here saved me from my sin because He paid the price. Just this past week, just in the last 2 weeks, I had a sophomore tell me that he knew he was saved because he asked Jesus in his heart. In this ministry, I don't know where it's coming from. If you're out there as a Sunday school teacher teaching this, stop. Stop. I'm telling you as a senior pastor, stop. We get saved by faith and faith alone in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all. Nothing more. You can call it belief. You can call it faith. You can call it trust. You can call it reliance. They're all synonyms. That's why I like the ladder illustration so much. Let me show you how much I believe in this ladder. Let me show you how much faith I have in this ladder. Show you how I'm relying on this ladder. Show you how I'm trusting in this ladder. I have not described anything different. I've used 5 different words, and I'm describing the exact same thing. Everyone got it? John, that must have been what it's like to preach in one of those churches. Remember like in Williamsburg where they're up in the corner and they're looking down on the congregation? You can really see who's messing with their cell phones in the back. Stop. It's a good vantage point. I don't understand why we keep using language that's unbiblical. The biblical language is the idea that I'm trusting in the cross. And when we say the cross, we mean what Jesus accomplished on the cross. He died for my sins. He was innocent. I wasn't. He paid the price. I didn't. And so I put all my trust on Him and Him alone. We're going to come back to that in just a few minutes. Their end is destruction. We've been saved from destruction this morning. We've been given eternal life. Their God is their belly. Our God is the Lord. Our God is the Lord. We seek to destroy any form of idolatry in our lives as soon as it rises up. Their glory is their shame. We strive to give God praise and honor in God in both word and deed. Their minds are set on earthly things, and we try to think differently. We strive to have an eternal mindset. We strive to have a heavenly mindset. We don't think the way they think. We have an utterly different perspective. Let me show you a parallel text in Colossians chapter number 3. Just turn over one page. It'll be right there with you. If you then, in verse number 1 of chapter 3, if you're going too far, it's only like one page away in your Bible. I don't know where you're going, okay? It's real close. To the right. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in this earth. Think differently. We have a heavenly mindset. What matters? Paul is concerned about your mind. Paul says what you think matters to him. Turn back two pages, perhaps, to chapter 2 of Philippians. Paul will tell us, let this mind be in you. I want you to think this way. Who's Paul to tell me how to think? God's telling us how to think this morning. God is saying that citizens of the kingdom of God think differently. We think differently. Our mindset is different. Our perspective is different. Our attitude is different. The way we think is different. We think like Christ. Have this mind amongst yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he's in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself and took on the form of a servant. We have a servant mindset. You say, but I'm the commanding officer. And we serve. That's our mindset. So what does it mean to have a mindset on heavenly things? Most importantly, it starts with this foundational, fundamental truth. Eternal is more important than temporal. Eternal is more important than temporal. It's only a car. It's just a house. It'll be fixed. It can be repaired. We can make that back. You get it? You get the idea? It's not a soul. It's not a soul. Jesus said, what should it profit a man if he should gain the entire world and lose his own soul? Why do you preach the way you preach? Because I care. It's that simple. It's because I care. You have a soul. You have a soul. You have a soul. Two souls right here. Souls right here. You understand that? You have a soul. You have a soul. Look at the promise that God makes in verse 21 to us. Look back at verse 21. God says that when he comes back, he's going to change this lowly, humble, vile body into something that's glorious. We're going to go from a temporal body to an eternal body. A temporal body that gets sick, that can get cancer, bones can be broken in it, Alzheimer's, vision goes out, become deaf, all those things, and we get an eternal body. But not everyone. Only those whose mind is set on heavenly things. Only. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the sovereign Lord of the universe, and we think about him throughout the day. Your mind is not set on heavenly things if Jesus only comes up once a week. It's not happening. Jesus is part of your life. The sovereign Lord of the universe dictates your thinking. We believe all humans are image bearers of God and possess souls. Race does not determine how we think of someone, nor gender. Sexism is not part of who we are. Racism is not part of who we are, because our minds are set on heaven. We have a different perspective. Ultimately, our law is the law of Christ. Yes, we respect and obey civil laws, but the law of God is our law. Civil laws don't say be kind. Civil laws don't say express gratitude. Civil laws don't say be polite. But we're different. We're different. We drive differently. Do you know why we drive differently? Because our mind is set on heavenly things. You say, I don't know where you're getting that from. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It goes something like this. If you had your turn signal on and you were trying to get into traffic, would you want someone to slow down and let you in? Say yes. Say yes. So you let someone in when they're in that situation. That's how the law of Christ determines our behavior. It's not just a matter of, well, the law doesn't say I have to let him in. You're right. The law allows you to be rude. But the law of Christ demands that we're different. And since our hearts are set on heavenly things, because our citizenship is in heaven, we think differently. And because we think differently, it manifests itself in behavior that is different. We know the Bible is the Word of God, and what it says matters. We confirm our thinking to it, not it to us. We believe that all Scripture is breathed out by God, that it is in fact given for teaching, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. It tells me how to think. Our minds are more focused on the state of the church than the state of the nation. Now, we're not oblivious. We know that our current nation is $22 trillion in debt, and they're struggling up in Washington, D.C., but we're much more concerned about how's the health of my church? How's the health of my church? How's the health of the evangelical church in America? How's the body of Christ doing in America? We recognize that this nation has an end date. Oh my goodness, that was sacrilegious that I almost said that, isn't it? That God establishes the boundaries of all nations. They have a start and they have an end. But the kingdom of God is eternal. It has no end. It has no end. We believe heaven is real. You say, have you been there? Folks, I don't have to go somewhere to believe in the existence of something. I have not been to Siberia, and I believe there's a place called Siberia. And you know what? I don't need to visit it to believe that there's a Siberia. I believe there's a heaven. I believe with all my heart that there's a heaven. In fact, I believe that God has set eternity in my heart. That the very nature of my desire to know that that's there, it comes from God. That I'm not a dog. I think differently as an image bearer of God. I believe hell is real and that spiritual warfare exists. I believe that God permits Satan to attack this church. I believe that one of the reasons we have such issues with marriages sometimes is because of the spiritual oppression, because the gospel is preached in this church. I believe that gender is decided by God. When you have a heavenly citizenship, you're not wondering, am I a boy, am I male, am I female? How would I like to behave today? No, God's already determined it. And so you think like a man, you think like a woman. And it doesn't go back and forth because God chose who I am. So my thinking is this way, my thinking is that way. I believe that marriage is permanent. The D word, cut it out. You can divorce me, but I'm not divorcing you. Can I say it one more time? You can divorce me, but I'm not divorcing you. Hey, we're on our second marriage. Stop. Don't go to number three. They used to say in the army, squat and hold. That'll help you out. Right there. Not moving anywhere. That's it. Done. I believe that it can be consist of one man and one woman. That's it. Why? Because it's the picture of Christ in the church. I don't call it marriage if it's two of the same gender. You know why? Because I think differently. I believe that personal holiness is a priority, and I strive to keep my thought life pure. It can't be in the gutter if it's in heaven. I believe that children are a gift from God to be cherished. You see, but the child was conceived out of wedlock, still a gift from God. Still a gift from God. A little image bearer of God right there. That's why abortion is not an option. It's not an option. If you're a born-again believer with your mind set on heaven, you're not talking about women's rights. Why? Because you've been bought with a price. Your body's not your own. It's been purchased by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not mine. You own it, Lord. You tell me how to think. Nobody's telling me how to think. Probably not saved. probably not saved. Because when you're saved, you submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and it manifests itself in the way you think. Time, talents, treasure are all gifts from God to be stewarded. All. The purpose of life is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Prayer is powerful. It's powerful. We think and pray. We pray and think. It's part of our mindsets. When we read these words, our Father in heaven, we're reminded that there is a heaven to go to. There's something more than this earth. He is our Father. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Have you noticed we haven't got to anything about me yet? No. I get this awesome reminder that I'm part of a kingdom bigger than myself. And it's coming. And that I want God's will done on this earth. Every time I pray, your will be done, suppress my will and exalt your will. Suppress my will, exalt your will. Suppress my will, exalt your will. In other words, the way we think determines the way we behave. We pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Say, I don't believe I could forgive someone that did that to you. I know. You can't. That's why you need the grace of God. You can't. That's why you need to set your mind on heavenly things. Because the carnal man, the earthly mindset will not. So get your mind thinking about what Christ did for you. And as a result, you'll change the way you think. He says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, unto whom be glory forever. 2 Timothy 4:18. 2 Peter 1:1. So an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord. I want you to think with me for a minute. I want to try to illustrate this idea of entrance, all right? Let me see if I can do this very quickly. I want to create a visual. I want to create a visual that you'll remember. There are lost people here this morning. You're not saved. There was at least 3 in the morning service. I want to see God save them. I want to see him come to Christ. So I want to give you this illustration to help you try to grasp this picture. All right, lock them in. Once you lock them in, safe as can be. Think with me for a moment. Look at that ladder. Look, visualize that ladder. Can you all see it very good? You can't see it very good, can you, over there, Jeff? Let me try to back it up some. You guys on this side, see how it's narrow right there? See how it's narrow right there? Everyone on that side, see how it's narrow right there? Everyone get a visual of how it's narrow right there? That's the idea I want you to see. I want to create this mental illustration this morning for you. Imagine for just a moment that that's the entrance. Look at it right there with me. That's the entrance right there. We're all looking at it. That's the entrance. It's one way. It's a narrow way. That's the only way. That's the entrance into the everlasting kingdom. This is where you need to go. Right here. This is it. This is the entrance into the everlasting kingdom. There's Abraham right over there. Do you see? There he is. There's Paul and Peter. They're having a conversation. There they are. There's Adam, Eve. There's the sons. There they are. There's Isaac. This is the everlasting kingdom. I can see it from here. This is the entrance into the everlasting kingdom. Can I tell you that this entrance right here, this is Christ's finished work on the cross. That's what this is. There's no baptism over here that we've added to it. There's no prayer that we've added to it. There's only one way. It's the cross. It's the cross, and so an entrance shall be given unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. So this is what I'm saying this morning. Embrace the cross with me. Chuck, come with me. Chuck, come on. Let's go. Come on, let's go. This is the only way. Imagine for a moment. Let's create an illustration. There's a moat right here. There's a moat right here. And you fall into that, and your end is destruction. Your end is destruction. The only way over there. Now there are some, they're going to try to jump. I know I can make it on my own. And they're going to try to leap. I can do it. I can do it. And we say, no, this is the only way. There are some that try to create their own ways. I know, I'll throw it across. Yeah, and then I can do it. See, watch me. And they're doing it on their own accord. Their own way. Their own righteousness. Their own religion. Their own way. But we say this morning, there's one entrance into the everlasting kingdom. Come with us. Come across the bridge. He'll take you. Look at Colossians 1:13. He's translated us. Translated us into the kingdom of God. Translated. Let me try to illustrate it a different way. We were up at a ski resort this week. It was just an amazingly good week. They had these gates. Let me try to illustrate it to you. Let me try to illustrate it to you. Create a mental picture. You had to ski up to the gate. So you're on your skis and you ski up to the gate. Right across here are two little things that keep you from going across. Right at ankle level, you're right here. There's a badge inside your jacket. There's a computer right here. As soon as it connects to the fact that your badge is good, it goes like this, boop, and then you ski right into the everlasting kingdom. Do you get the idea right here? So you come up like this, and you're on your skis, and you ski up, and then you wait right here, and then the badge reader connects that your badge is valid, you paid your pass, and boop, and then ski right up into the leap. That's the Holy Spirit. If you've been born from again, if you've been saved, then the Holy Spirit of living God is residing inside you. And the badge reader picks up, that's mine, sealed with the Holy Spirit. You get it? And the gates pop right open. Do you understand that there's no other way? No other way. This is it. So you're saying, how do I acquire such citizenship? Pastor Sean, when I die, I want the gates to pop open. I want to be translated into the kingdom of God. I want an entrance to be made. You must be saved. You must be saved. You have to be saved. And we're not asking you right now to pray a prayer. We're not. We're not going there. We're asking you to get on the ladder. Now, what's the ladder? It's Christ Jesus. It's what he did on the cross. And we're saying to you, we're lining up. We're all lining up. And if you have faith and you believe this is the only way, then when you come over here, you won't try to jockey this. You say, I believe that this is the way. Let me get up there with you. And today I say in the back, come follow me. Follow me on. This is the only way. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior. He's there. And he's coming to get all that are his. Born unto you this day in the city of David is a what? A Savior. You'll call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that in order that the world might be saved through him. How does he save people? Through the cross. Through the cross. So look back at verse 18. They are enemies of the cross. And so today I say to you, don't be an enemy of the cross. Don't be an enemy of the cross. You say, how could I be an enemy of the cross? Thinking you can save yourself. Thinking that your righteousness is good enough. Thinking that the prayer you prayed is effectual. Thinking that the baptism you did is good to go. Thinking that there's any other way. How can I embrace the cross? Watch me embrace this ladder. Do you see me embracing this ladder? Embrace the cross the way I'm embracing the ladder. I'm fully depending upon this ladder to support my weight. If you ask me, how do you know you're not going to fall? I'm not going to tell you about anything other than the strength of the what? The ladder. It's stable. It's solid. It's built well. It's engineered. It's got the seal of the approval. You get the idea? Relying upon it. We keep on messing up. When we need to be giving God all the glory for our salvation, we talk about us. He saved me. He did it. What did you do? I just believed. I put my faith in it. I got the presentation. It looks rock solid. And I believe. Embrace the cross. On the cross, Christ died for the sins of humanity. On the cross, Christ appeased the wrath of God. On the cross, Christ shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins. On the cross, Christ made atonement for all who would believe. On the cross, he said, "It is finished." He said that. You say, "How do I know, Pastor Sean, if I'm on the cross?" Do you think differently? Do I think differently? I can't believe you just went there. Our citizenship is in where?
Heaven.
Our minds are different from that group. Our minds are different. Our minds are utterly different. Where's my Bible? What did I do with it? Thank you. Philippians chapter 3. Give me a second to get there. I need you to see how Paul is comparing and contrasting the two groups. Assurance of salvation is not found in a prayer. Assurance of salvation is found in the differences between that group and this group. Their end is destruction. They are enemies of the cross. Their God is their belly. Their glory is their shame. And their minds are set on earthly things. When was the last time you talked about something heavenly? As opposed to us, our citizenship is in heaven. We are looking for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe with all our hearts he is going to change our vile body, that it may be fashioned unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby even in to do all things in himself. Therefore, don't worry about the chapter break. It wasn't there when Paul wrote it. Therefore, my beloved, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown. Notice what he says, please. Stand fast. Amen. Let me show you what he means. Stand fast. Stay right here. Don't leave the cross this year. Don't leave the cross next year. Don't leave the cross in Nebraska. When you go to Pennsylvania, don't leave the cross. When you do a short term in Africa, don't leave the cross. When you get another son, don't leave the cross. When your wife divorces you, don't leave the cross. When your mama dies prematurely, don't leave the cross. When your husband dies, don't leave the cross. When you get cancer, don't leave the cross. Don't let anything take you away from the cross. What's he say? Stand what? Fast. Stand fast. Why? My citizenship is in heaven. And I am fully relying upon this and this alone. You say, are you going to lead us in a prayer now? No. 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 We're going to leave those doors believing the truth. You say, but what if I've never believed it? Start today. You don't have to pray a prayer to start believing in something. How do I start? Start. Start. You do that with everything else. Look, if you want to pray, go pray. We'll spend the whole afternoon praying. Just understand that when you're done praying, all your prayers are a reflection of what's already happened here, which is your faith is in Christ.
Amen.
That's fine. Amen. I'm not saying you can't pray. I'm not saying that because you prayed, you weren't saved. What I'm trying to teach you is that prayer should have been a reflection of this. So if it wasn't, get here now. Get here now. Get on the cross. You're 17 years old. Get on the cross. Put your faith on the cross. Embrace it. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. That's the idea what I mean by embrace it. Talk about it. What did we sing this morning? The cross was enough. The cross was enough. If you really believe that this can sustain you, you don't ask for a safety harness. Why? Because you trust in the efficacy of the ladder. In the same way that you trust in the efficacy of the ladder, you trust in the sufficiency of what Christ did on the cross. You get it? It's the parallel is perfect, I think. Sunday school teachers, teach it that way, please. Awana workers, communicate it that way. Getting ready for vacation Bible school, Brian, it's got to be straight. It's got to be straight. Moms and dads, get your kids straight. Don't send them into confusion. Amen. Don't do that. Get them solid on the gospel. They go to summer camp and the evangelist wants to get them lost so he can get them saved. Get them already on the cross so they're not confused. Amen. Teach them straight. Teach them straight. Teach them straight. Once you put your faith on Jesus Christ and Him alone, there's nothing else. Right. There's nothing else. So when someone says, how do you know you're saved? Don't go anywhere but the cross. Let's pray. John, you come up here. I want to sing The Cross Was Enough one more time. Whoever you got to do back there, let's get something up on the screen so we can sing it one more time. And this time, I want us to sing it like we mean it. I want us to sing it like it's an act of worship. I want us to exalt our holy Lord and Savior. And if the cross is not what it is, ask God to make it that in your life. Ask God. I'm not connecting. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So diligently seek Him today. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, and then we're going to be dismissed.